You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Today is Friday, April 19th. We'll tell you about Israel's much-anticipated retaliation against Iran and a controversial veto from the U.S. Also, a major milestone in the first criminal trial of a former U.S. president and the federal government's new plan to conserve public lands. Plus, which American city is getting a new pro sports team, what to expect from Meta's new AI chatbot, and how Taylor Swift's new album broke records even before it came out. Those stories and more in today's episode. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy, all the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Developing early this morning, top U.S. officials say Israel has attacked Iran in a move that could push the region into a deeper war. Explosions were heard early this morning at a military airbase in central Iran, where the country has nuclear facilities and a drone factory. Though at this point, it's too early to have gotten any reports about damage. This was expected since Israel has threatened to respond to Iran's unprecedented strikes on Israel, even though most of them were intercepted. President Biden urged Israel not to respond with force, worried that another counterattack could escalate an all-out war. But in the end, the U.S. left it up to Israel to decide what to do. And just yesterday, Iranian officials said if Israel did take any further military action, the response would be, quote, immediate and at the maximum level. Already, tensions have been high since terror groups, Hamas in Gaza and Hezbollah in Lebanon, are allies of Iran. Separately, the U.S. took its own actions to punish Iran for its attack on Israel. The U.S. Treasury announced new sanctions that target Iran's drone, steel, and auto industries. Specifically, they're against 16 people and two companies, all accused of enabling Iran's military in some way. The UK is also targeting Iran's drone program and ballistic missile program with its own sanctions. Well, this week at the United Nations, the U.S. vetoed the Security Council's efforts to give Palestine full UN membership that would formally recognize a Palestinian state. There was otherwise overwhelming support from the Security Council. Out of the 15-member council, there were 12 yes votes, and two countries did not vote one way or another. But the U.S. veto was enough for the application to be rejected. An American representative explained, saying the veto does not mean the U.S. is against a Palestinian state. In fact, the U.S. strongly supports a two-state solution, but says it should come as a result of direct negotiations between Israel and the Palestinians. The Palestinian president condemned the veto as unfair, unethical, and unjustified. But on the other side, Israel condemned all the members who supported the measure, saying it would be shameful to recognize a Palestinian state less than a year after the largest massacre of Jews since the Holocaust. Basically, Israel doesn't want to reward Hamas in any way. Though Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and members of his government have been opposed to the creation of a Palestinian state within Israel long before the October 7th attack. And ever since the war in Gaza broke out, causing mass casualties and destruction, an agreement seems further away than ever before. Columbia University's president has already started cracking down on pro-Palestinian protesters the same week she made promises to do so on Capitol Hill. Just yesterday, she asked the New York Police Department to remove students who set up an encampment to denounce the war in Gaza. The protesters were also calling on the university to cut all financial ties to Israel or corporations that work with Israel, and they promised to stay camped out until Columbia either complied with their demands or removed them by force. Well, with that, the NYPD arrested more than 100 people for trespassing, along with other charges. All the students have also been suspended. The university's president says she and other university officials are just working hard to balance two priorities. One, the rights of students to express their political views, and two, the need to protect other students from what can be seen as harassment and discrimination. Though some pro-Palestinian groups say this will only embolden them more, in fact, some tents have already popped back up on campus. The stage is set for former President Trump's first criminal trial to really get going next week with opening statements. All 12 jurors were finalized and sworn in yesterday after 3 days of questioning. It wasn't easy, in part because it was tough to find people who said they could be impartial. Remember, in this case, Trump faces 34 felony counts of falsifying business records to cover up a hush money payment to a porn actress ahead of the 2016 election. Former President Trump insists he did nothing wrong and calls the whole case politically motivated. As you know, Trump also faces criminal cases in Washington, Georgia, and Florida. But this is the only one that's certain to go to trial before the next presidential election in November. And if he's found guilty, Trump could get a prison sentence. Even still, a conviction would not keep him from the White House if he wins the election. Also next week, the U.S. Supreme Court will begin to hear arguments in a presidential immunity case involving Trump. So we're explaining that one and its potential impact moving forward in tomorrow's special edition Saturday episode. So join us for that. As a quick reminder, the Lyrid meteor shower has officially begun, and it's set to peak this weekend, Sunday night to be exact. The peak usually sees about 20 bright, fast meteors per hour, though there has been as many as 100 an hour in the past. The thing is, there will also be a nearly full moon, making the meteor shower tough to see clearly. But astronomers say it could still be impressive. It's supposed to be most visible between midnight and the pre-dawn hours on Monday. And of course, it's best to be under dark skies away from city lights. No special equipment is required. Just look to the northeast at the same spot in the sky. The next major meteor shower is expected this summer. We have more news for you still coming up. But first, thanks to our sponsor, ZocDoc. A pediatrician recently told us to find a specialist for a minor but ongoing issue my son was having. So I went to go book with the specialist I was referred to, and I couldn't believe how long it would be before we would get an appointment. Soon, I found myself Googling and calling and wasting my time trying to get in with another doctor faster and ended up talking to front desk offices about appointment times, only to realize some of them didn't even take our insurance. And this is why it can be so frustrating to find any new doctor when you need one. Well, there is another option that tries to make it easier for you. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Yes, if you find a doctor you like on there, they have options for video appointments, and the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is just between 24 to 72 hours. Go to ZocDoc.com/newsworthy and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/newsworthy. ZocDoc.com/newsworthy. Now back to the news. There are now some new rules in effect meant to help protect American public lands. With one of the new measures, the U.S. will be able to lease land for conservation, similarly to how it offers inexpensive land for development, like drilling, mining, and grazing. The Interior Department says this will help guard nearly a tenth of America's land from the impact of climate change, and it will give industries the opportunity to offset their environmental footprints. Restoration leases won't be allowed if they get in the way of any activity already underway. The rule was praised by conservation groups. But at least one oil and gas industry group said it was an example of government overreach and that it would hurt rural communities that rely on economic development of public lands. It has promised to sue. Republicans in Congress have also said they'll work to invalidate the rule. So, to be continued. As expected, the U.S. government invested billions more into the production of vital semiconductors. Most recently, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer announced a grant to Micron worth up to $6.1 billion. He says that will help the company build two new chip manufacturing plants in New York, along with another plant under construction in Idaho. Also earlier this week, U.S. officials awarded Samsung with up to $6.4 billion in grants. And with that, it'll be able to expand chip production in Central Texas. Together, these latest grants are expected to create tens of thousands of jobs. They're just the latest parts of a bipartisan effort to bring chip making back to the U.S., which is crucial for powering everything from phones and supercomputers to cars and weapons systems. Billions have already gone to other big chip makers. Meta just launched an upgraded version of its artificial intelligence assistant across its apps. And that means Facebook, Messenger, Instagram, and WhatsApp are all getting the latest version of the AI model that's meant to rival ChatGPT. It'll be featured more prominently in the apps. Or you can also use it on its own by going to meta.ai. Meta says it can do things like summarize links, generate text, answer questions, create images, and more. And the company claims it's the most intelligent AI assistant you can freely use. Still, Meta does have a disclaimer that some of the messages may be inaccurate or inappropriate. The official rollout has already begun. Utah is getting its own professional hockey team. The NHL announced this week the Arizona Coyotes will be moving to Salt Lake City starting next season. Ryan and Ashley Smith of the Smith Entertainment Group bought the team. They also own the NBA's Utah Jazz and co-own the MLS's Real Salt Lake. And now that the NHL deal has been approved, the Coyotes players, draft picks, and hockey operations department will relocate. But they won't be called the Coyotes anymore. The Smiths are asking the community for suggestions on a new name. Taylor Swift's new era is here. Her 11th studio album, The Tortured Poets Department, debuted at midnight. There are 16 tracks, plus a different bonus track on four versions of the album. Swift said the songs reflect her experiences from a moment in time that was, quote, sensational and sorrowful. Spotify said it was the most pre-saved album countdown page in the streaming service's history. Plus, some of the merchandise for the album is already sold out. Fans celebrated the big release overnight with listening parties and themed gatherings. And Taylor Swift promoted the first music video for the album coming out tonight. By the way, even if you're not a Taylor Swift fan, there's still a lot more pop culture for you this weekend. Pearl Jam also came out with its 12th studio album today, three decades into their career. Also, the animated movie Migration debuts on Peacock today. And Conan O'Brien's new travel show came out on Max yesterday. That's it for the main news today, so now it's time for Feel Good Friday, where we bring you one extra feel-good or positive news story before the weekend. But first, a quick break for our sponsor, Honeylove. You know the type of clothes and undergarments that are so soft and comfortable, they kind of feel like a second skin, and you almost forget that you're wearing them. That's what you get with Honeylove. Honeylove has you covered for everything, from the everyday look to workouts to fancy events, thanks to their shapewear, bras, tanks, leggings, and more. I knew I would like their legging 2.0, but I love this pair of leggings even more than I expected. Right out of the box, I thought, oh, wow, these are really smooth and soft. And then I put them on and the hidden shaping panels make me feel really supported and confident. And the side pockets just put these leggings over the top as my new favorite because it's so convenient. Not to mention the fabric is breathable and anti-sheer, and it's just a really cute style, too. I was also surprisingly impressed with all of their shapewear and bras and more. So treat yourself to the best on the market and save 20% at honeylove.com/newsworthy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off at honeylove.com/newsworthy. And after you purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. So please support our show and let them know we sent you. You deserve this. All right, now back to Feel Good Friday. A high school cross-country coach found a way to keep young athletes motivated and help a worthy cause at the same time. Coach Louis Escobar paired his students up with shelter dogs. He worked with a local animal shelter where staff gave the young athletes a briefing on the best practices for running with animals. Then on their very first day of taking the dogs out, Coach Escobar posted a video online. Well, it ended up getting hundreds of thousands of views overnight. And many of the dogs actually ended up getting adopted because of it. The video also inspired other schools all around the country to find their own dog motivators. Some can go on long runs. In other cases, it's more like a walk and a roll around in the grass. Either way, shelters say it's great to get the dogs involved in something that lets them be social and get out some energy. And the high schoolers say it's good for team building and helps them learn to care about others more than themselves. Some of them even come back to keep running with dogs on school breaks, in the summers, and even after they've graduated. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with our special edition Saturday episode, all about the historic Supreme Court case set to start next week. Then join us again Monday for your next news roundup. For now, thank you so much for listening and have a great weekend.